Tonight I just used one little phrase from the psalm that we read a moment ago. It's in verse 3 where it says, children are a heritage of the Lord. Children are a gift from God. I mentioned this morning, and I believe this with all my heart, I believe that every child that is conceived is as much a direct act of God's creation as when he made Adam from the dust of the ground and when he made Eve from Adam's rib in the Garden of Eden. I don't believe a child is born just by accident. I believe it's part of God's plan. I believe he has a plan for everyone, and I know that God sometimes takes children even before they come out of the womb. I believe that that's a life that's in heaven, and God had a purpose for what happened. And when a little child is born, we've had several couples in our church that have lost little babies after they've been born, and I believe that they're in heaven, and God had a plan and a purpose for that. I was talking to a lady this week that lost her son in a car accident. He was 15 years old, and I told her, I said, I can't explain why, but I believe that God has a plan. I know we think that his life was cut short, that he was cheated because he didn't get to, you know, get older and enjoy the things that we associate with life, but he lived the life. He was a Christian. He had accepted Christ as his Savior, and he's in heaven tonight, and God has a plan. And so I believe that every child is a gift from God, that every child is a creative act of God. And so tonight, I want to preach on the subject, what parents owe their children. What parents owe their children. And I sort of previewed my message in Sunday school this morning, and I know some of you weren't in here because you're in a different class. This message applies to every parent that's here tonight. I don't know, and it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how old your children are. Because, you see, once you become a parent, you never relinquish that title. You never give up that title. You are a parent the rest of your life. And I know there may be some here tonight that never had children. But I would dare say there's a child in your life that you influence, a child in your life that even though you might not be the parent, the things that I'm going to say tonight would apply to you as well as you influence that child. And so, again, I have 10 things I want to say tonight. You'll be able to keep track of where I am in my message by what number we're on. I had a lady go out of church this morning, and I kept you a little bit late this morning. I didn't get through preaching until about 10 after this morning because of the Lord's Supper. And this lady usually doesn't comment about my preaching. She surprised me this morning. She says, well, I thought you were just getting wound up. I hated to see you stop. I didn't care what time it was. You could have preached till 1 o'clock, and I would have sat there. I said, "Well, I appreciate that, but I try to be respectful of people's time and not keep them too much later than they're used to getting out." So I promise not to keep you too much tonight. I appreciate you being here. I know there there's a little bit of a football game on tonight, but you'll be able to get home and see the rest of it when you get home. And nothing usually it does. It's not over till it's over, as Yogi Berra used to say. Not Yogi Berra, Yogi Berra, the great philosopher, but it's not over till it's over, and so you'll get home before it gets over, unless the Lord just keeps us here. And if you don't get home before it's over, well, the Lord didn't want you to. So, here we go. 10 things that every parent ought to give to their children. Number one are Christian parents. Christian parents, not just morally right people. Not just decent people, not just parents that do the right things, parents that have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, parents that have come to the point in their life where they realize that they're a sinner. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Parents that have realized that they're sinners, parents that have realized there's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death. Parents that have heard the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior for them. As he hung on the cross, God laid on his son all of our sins, every one of our sins. And this thought has been on my mind all week, and I know I mentioned it twice this morning. I'm going to mention it tonight. Jesus died for the sin of every single person. There's not a person that's ever lived on the face of the earth that Jesus didn't die for. I mean, you think of the worst person that ever lived. Think of Adolf Hitler as an example. I want you to know tonight, when Jesus died on the cross, he died on the cross for every one of Hitler's sins. And we look at Hitler and we look at the atrocities that he inflicted on people. But in God's sight, the sins that we have and the sins that he had are not any different. We're all sinners. We stand guilty before God, and every parent owes their child, a parent that realizes they're a sinner, realizes there's a penalty for that sin, and knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus died for their sin. And there was a time in their life when they came to the Savior and asked Jesus to save them. Now, if you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you're a sinner. You're on your way to hell. I'm sorry to say that, but it's Bible truth. I'm not just saying it to make it up. It's what the Bible says. If you're not saved, you're on your way to hell. Hell's not a figment of somebody's imagination. It's a Bible doctrine. It's a place that the Bible talks about. In fact, the Bible talks more about hell than it does heaven. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, for your sake, you ought to get saved. For your sake, you ought to ask Jesus to be your Savior. But if you're here tonight, you're not saved, and you're a parent, you ought to get saved for the sake of your child. You ought to get saved for that little one that God has entrusted to you. You say, well, preacher, my kids are grown and gone from home. Well, I'm going to tell you something tonight. Your grown children need parents that know Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's what they need. And all the other things that I'm going to talk about tonight, you can't really do unless you are resting on the foundation of the solid rock, a relationship with Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Every parent ought to give to their child a mom and a dad that knows the truth of that verse, that has claimed the promise of that verse, and has asked Jesus to be their Savior, and is on their way to heaven. And again, it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter how old your child is, it doesn't matter if they're living at home, it doesn't matter if they're gone from home, every child is a gift from God. Every child is a creative act of God. God has a plan for every child's life. How can that child realize and become what God wants them to become without a Christian for a mom and a dad? Every child deserves a Christian mom and dad. Number two, what parents owe their children. Parents owe their children unconditional love. The kind of love that God loves us with. The kind of love that doesn't matter what they do, that doesn't matter where they go, that doesn't matter how many times they may disappoint you. They deserve a love that never quits, a love that never changes, a love that never dies. You've heard me say many, many times, love is more than just a feeling. Love is an action. For God so loved the world that he gave. Our love for our children needs to be actions, not just feelings. Doesn't mean that we should give them everything they want. Sometimes the way we love them is to say no. Sometimes the way we love them is to stand by because of a decision that they've made and let them feel the hurt. Let them feel the pain. I know what we want to do. I want to do it. You want to do it. When our child makes a decision that we know is going to hurt them, we want to step in. We want to protect them from the consequences. But love sometimes says, no, I'm going to step back, just like God does to us. Sometimes God, we make wrong kind of decisions. We make bad decisions. And God loves us. But sometimes in his love, God steps back and says, I want you to see the consequences of the decision that you make.
I want you to see the results of the decision that you want to make. And we owe our children that kind of love. I'll remind you tonight, regardless of what your child has done or not done, they will forever be your child. You cannot change that fact. And we ought to love them as our Heavenly Father has loved us. There's not a Christian here tonight that would say, I've always deserved God's love. In fact, every Christian would say tonight, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve the love that God has for me. I'm just a sinner. And even as one of his children, I disappoint him in so many ways. But I have a never-ending, abiding love that comes from my Father above. And there's nothing that I can do to break the relationship that I have in Jesus Christ. And I may not be sure of a lot of things that go on in this earth, but I am dead sure about one thing. That I have a Savior that loves me, will love me, always will love me, and his love for me will never change. That's the kind of love we ought to have for our kids. Number three, every child deserves parents that will teach them. That will teach them. It's not the school's job to teach your children. It's not the school's job. It wasn't the school's job to teach my children. It's yours and it's mine. That responsibility does not rest with the school teacher. It does not rest with their Sunday school teacher. It doesn't even rest with grandpa and grandma. Thank God for godly grandparents. Thank God for grandpas and grandmas that love their grandchildren and will teach their grandchildren. And grandparents can be a great help. But I'll remind myself, I'll remind all the moms and dads here tonight. Again, doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how old your children are. It's your responsibility, it's my responsibility to teach them. We teach them the difference between right and wrong. We teach them to do right. We teach them how to live. We teach them how to get along with one another. I read a statement, and I can't remember where I read it. I think it was in a Christian newspaper that I read. And the guy made the statement. He says, most people spend more time teaching their dogs how to obey than they do their children. And it may be, I don't know if that's true or not, but it's sad that somebody would even say it or think it. That most people spend more time teaching their dogs to obey than they do their kids. And here's the illustration he gave, and I've given this illustration myself at times. He said, you want to see if that's true or not? Go to a supermarket or a store on Saturday morning when mothers have their little kids there shopping. And he says, you'll see the truth in the statement that I just made. And we've all been in Myers or Walmarts on a Saturday morning when there's a little one in the basket that is disobeying and mom is doing her best or dad is doing his best to try to get him to obey. And you can tell him he or she hadn't had much experience getting them to do that. And so we owe our children to teach them. And again, by the way, it never stops. I mentioned it in Sunday school this morning. We think when our children leave home, we've done our job. We think when our children get out on their own, that our job in teaching them is done. And I would remind you, like I did this morning, that our job in teaching our children never ends. Who are they going to learn how to grow old from? Other than mom and dad. Who are they going to learn how to age gracefully? Other than mom and dad? Who are they going to learn how to face the end of life from? Other than mom and dad? Our teaching job never quits. Our teaching job never gets over. The Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and he will not depart. And that's our job as parents. That's what we owe our children, to teach them. Number four, parents owe their children love for one another. Your children ought to see dad kissing on mom. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's good. You say, preacher, I'm not used to public displays of affection. Get over it. Your kids need to see you loving on each other. Your kids need to see you kissing. They need to see you hugging each other. They need to see Dad every now and then bring flowers and candy home, not on Valentine's Day, not on a birthday, not on an anniversary, but just on a regular day, and say to their mother, I love you. They ought, amen, that's right. Too bad Kim's not here tonight, Brother Jeff. They need to see Mom at times, not on a birthday, not on an anniversary, not on on Valentine's Day, cook Dad's favorite meal and put it on the table as a way of saying, I love you. They ought to see Mom and Dad disagree, maybe you argue a little bit, and then see them reconcile and compromise and get over the disagreement and make up. Where are they going to learn that from if we don't model it for them? Where are they going to learn it from? They're not going to see it on TV. They're not going to see it out in the world, how husbands and wives ought to get along. I mean, you know, the world paints a perverted picture of what marriage is. The world is trying to destroy marriage. Where better than in the home for kids to realize that, hey, it's not always, and like I put, it's in the bulletin next week, I can't tell you about that, but it's not always moonlight and roses. In marriage, there are some disagreements. There are some times where we're not going to have the same mind about something. And they need to see Mom and Dad disagree, and yet they need to see Mom and Dad come together after that disagreement and reach a compromise. Where else are they going to learn it? They're not going to learn it out there. They need to learn it at home. They ought to see Mom and Dad stand together, not only in the good times, but in the hard times. In the times where hardship comes in to the home, in the time that sorrow comes into the home, they need to see Mom and Dad stand together, hand in hand, arm in arm, as they face the trials of life. As you raise your children, you are raising your grandchildren's parents. Think about that. As you raise your children, you are raising your grandchildren's parents. You owe your children your love for one another. You say, and I know, I had some guy, I can't remember, it was a couple weeks ago, and I made a statement. He came out, and I didn't know if he was kidding or not. He's the kind of guy, I can't tell if he's kidding me or not. He said, Preacher, I got married 29 years ago. At the wedding altar, I told my wife I loved her. If anything changes, I'll let her know. And I told him, I said, no, I hope you're kidding me. I hope that's not right. You need to tell her you love her more than once every 29 years. You need to tell her you love her every day. You need to tell her you love her more than once a day. I hope you're kidding. He never told me if he was kidding or not, so I don't know. Number five, we owe our children parents that love Grandpa and Grandma. Your children ought to see the love that you have for your mom and dad. They ought to see you serving them. They ought to see you talk to them. They ought to see you express your love for them. The love that they will have for you someday is the love that you are showing for your mom and dad today. You are teaching them how to love you by how you love your parents. And we owe them, every parent owes their child to show their love for Grandpa and Grandma. Number six, every parent owes their child a love of God. A love of God. We ought to thank Him every day for the blessings He bestows. We ought to thank Him before meals. We ought to thank Him for our children. We ought to thank Him for all the ways that He's blessed us. The fact that He's lived, let us live and grow up in the United States of America. We ought to thank Him for the house that we live in, for the clothes that we wear, for the food that we eat. The Bible says every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father above. Your children need to see you be grateful to God. Your children need to see you love on God. Your children need to see you praise God. Not just on Sunday morning, not just on Sunday night, but every day of the week. We owe them parents that love God. Number seven, we owe them parents that love the Bible, that love God's Word. They ought to see mom and dad reading the Bible individually. It ought to be read as a family. It ought to be read by dad or mom and with the family gathered around. They ought to be able to look at how you treat this book and know that you think it's the most important book in all the world. They ought to see how you treat this book and know that it's important to you. They ought to see the way that you treat this book and know that you think it is a word from God. How they treat their Bible is they're going to learn by how you treat the Bible. Look, this is the Word of God. He has given it to us. He has preserved it. We have it just the way He wants us to have it. And this is more than just any other book. This is a book that comes from our Creator. This is a book that comes from our Sustainer. I mentioned this morning, this is our manual for life. We ought to spend more time in this book than we do any other place. You ought to spend more time in this book than you do watching TV. Amen? You ought to spend more time in this book than you spend listening to music. I love music. I think music's good. But you ought to spend more time in this book than you do listening to music. You ought to spend more time in this book than you do reading a newspaper. You ought to spend more time in this book than you do on the computer. Say, preacher, I read my Bible on... Okay, if you read your Bible on the computer, that's all right. You can count that. But you ought to spend more time in this book than you do anything else. Either it's the Word of God or it's not. And if it's the Word of God, it ought to have top priority in our life. If it's the Word of God, we ought to read it. If it's the Word of God, we ought to study it. If it's the Word of God, we ought to memorize it. I was talking to a lady today. I went over and visited Carolyn today. I don't think she'd mind me telling you. She's hurting. Really need to pray for her. She's having a tough time after the accident. She's suffering physically. She's suffering emotionally. She actually thinks it's her fault that her sister died in the car accident because she talked her sister into riding with her instead of riding with her husband as they were going up to see her niece. And she said, Pastor, I haven't been able to read my Bible. I have to take so many drugs. I hurt so much. I just haven't been able to read my Bible. I said, Carolyn, you see, all those verses that you learned as a child, all those Bible verses that you memorized, all those Bible verses that you put in your heart, God had you do that for times like this. When you hurt so much and you're so and you take so much medicine, God has implanted His Word in your heart because you had somebody teach it to you when you're a child, had somebody help you memorize it when you're a child, for the very moment, for the very days that you're going through now. So you can pull that Word out of your heart and out of your mind and meditate on it. And so we owe our children parents that love the Bible. Number eight. We owe our children parents that come to church, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Look, if you're going to be in this thing, get in it all the way. Don't just come on Sunday morning for church. It's not that much more trouble to get up an hour earlier and come to Sunday school. And we have enough classes, you can find one you like. If you don't like the auditorium class, there's Dan's class, there's Andy and Carol's class, there's Ruth's class, there's different classes that you can go to. If this is the Word of God, as some testified tonight, as Carol testified tonight, we ought to look for every opportunity to study it. We ought to look for every opportunity to get into it and come into church. And again, I was talking to somebody a couple weeks ago, and they said, I believe that you can worship God by yourself. And I said, well, I believe you can worship God by yourself too. But I also believe you can worship God in the corporate body called the church. And when the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, I asked that person, I said, hey, when you're worshiping God by yourself, do you exhort yourself? He said, what do you mean? I said, do you exhort yourself? Do you skin yourself? Do you get on yourself? Do you remind yourself about all the sins that you're committing? Do you try to stir yourself up to good works? He said, well, no, I don't do that. I said, that's why you need to come to church. Because that's what happens. Yeah, I mentioned it, I think, Wednesday night. I love testimony time. I love on Wednesday night and on Sunday night. And I know some people say, I've had a couple people ask me, said, preacher, if you didn't give people an opportunity to give testimonies, you may have more time to preach. I said, I wouldn't change it for the world. I love to hear testimonies. Because testimonies, and remember I told you Wednesday night what that word means? It means that God can do it again. And so when somebody testifies, every time I hear a testimony, here's what I think. Well, God did it for them, he can do it for me. God did it once, he can do it again. And I enjoy the testimonies. And so we need to come, we are our children to bring them to church. I'll tell you why I'm here tonight. Because I had a mom and dad from the day I was born. I was in church every time the door was open. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. When I got old enough and I thought I could make decisions for myself, and I sort of mentioned to my dad that I might want to do something else on Sunday instead of go to church, he said, let me remind you of something. As long as you got your feet under my table and you're eating my food, you're going to church. I liked to eat when I was a kid. You can tell I still like to eat. And so I went to church. I'd rather be in church tonight than anywhere else. I would have rather been in church this morning than anywhere else. When I, for some reason, when I'm sick, and it doesn't happen very often, when I miss church, my week is messed up. I depend on this place to stir me up and to skin me and to rebuke me and do all the things and to encourage me. I depend on this place to do that. And we owe our children parents that come to church. Number nine, we owe our children parents that know how to pray, that know how to get a hold of God, that know how to get a hold of God and not let go until God gives them what they need. Our children need to see us labor in prayer. They need to see us be persistent in prayer. They need to see us beg God in prayer. They need to see answers come to prayer. And by the way, if you pray, I guarantee you, sooner or later, you'll see an answer. Sooner or later, God will intervene. And all you need to do is come on a Sunday night and a Wednesday night and know that it happens often to people that pray. Your children need to see that. Who's going to teach them how to pray? Who's going to teach them that God answers prayer? Who's going to teach them what it is to labor in prayer? That's our job as parents. And then number 10, we owe our children counsel. Counsel. When they're little, we need to help them pick their friends and the people they hang with. We need to help them make, early in their life, we need to help them make decisions. As we grow older, our responsibility to counsel doesn't go away. Sometimes we have to give it in different ways. Sometimes we have to find ways to offer it, even though we're not asked for it. But our responsibility as parents to counsel our children never expires. It never does. And it is a wise child. It is a wise child who, no matter how old they are, whether they're a teenager in their 20s or in their 30s or even in their 60s, if they still have parents, it is a wise child who will use the life experiences of mom and dad when they get in places that they've never been before, that mom and dad have been there, to go to mom and dad and ask advice. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, sometimes mom and dad, again, we have to be kind. We have to be sensitive when we give our adult children advice. But please don't ever get to the point in your life as a parent where you think, well, my counseling days with my children are over. It never ends. And it is a wise child who, if you still have your mom and dad around, and if you're in your 40s or your 50s or your 60s or even your 70s, and mom and dad is still around, it's good for you. It's good for you. It's good for your mom and dad to go and ask counsel. What we owe our kids. Again, doesn't matter how old you are as a parent. Doesn't matter how old your children are. These things, it doesn't matter. We owe them to our children. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the gift of children. Thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to be a dad, to be a mom. And I pray tonight that we'd realize it, that it is not only a privilege, but it's a grave responsibility. These little ones and not so little ones belong to you. You've just loaned them to us. And I pray, Father, that we would take our responsibility as a God-given responsibility. And we would all do our best to be the kinds of dads and moms that you want us to be. I pray tonight if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, whether they're a parent or not, help them, Father, to see that their sin separates them from you. Their sin separates them from eternity in heaven with you. And the only thing that can help them is what Jesus did for them on Calvary. I pray tonight if there's just one here that's never received the gift of salvation he purchased for us there, that they would come tonight. We could take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Just bless this time of invitation. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.